From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Under cover of the presidential race, Donald Trump's administration has been rapidly and quietly deporting asylum seekers from Cameroon without following the proper procedures. Plane loads of deportees have been expelled to a war-torn nation where many fear they will face death. Over the course of months, Cameroonian asylum seekers being held in detention centers in the U.S. have gone on hunger strike to protest their conditions. Senator Chris Van Hollen has written to Homeland Security Secretary Chad Wolf, urging him to stop the deportations. And Representative Karen Bass has introduced a bill to do the same. Immigrant and refugee organizations have urged the U.S. to extend temporary protected status to asylum seekers from Cameroon. But all the efforts so far have been in vain. My guest is Sylvie Bello, founder of the Cameroon American Council. Welcome to the program, Sylvie.
Hi, thank you, Sonali. Bonjour, salam. Hi, everyone.
Thanks so much for joining us. So first, tell us about the plight of asylum seekers from Cameroon. They've been held in terrible conditions, and now many of them have simply, you could say have been disappeared by the U.S. They've just been dumped into Cameroon without following proper procedures. What should we know about what was done to them?
No, it's been crazy times. Everyone has felt them, including us as activists who felt them, because they are facing detention, they're facing deportation, and quite frankly, death. That's exactly why they fled. They fled five armed conflicts in Cameroon, armed conflicts in Ali that were caused by America's foreign policy abroad, right? The heavy-handedness in militarization in present day, but also, in this moment of racial reckoning, there is also colonization and post-colonization, and all the way to 400 years when our ancestors were stolen from the shores of Bimbia, Cameroon, and sold to the Americans. And then when these men and women fleeing these conflicts, essentially caused by American foreign policy abroad, they get to Ecuador, they cross eight countries in Central and South America, get to Mexico in North America, then now get to the U.S. The U.S. refuses, right, to use all of its international treaties. I mean, the United Nations isn't the United States, right? You would think that all of these treaties, will be utilized and put in, in their favors for asylum, knowing that Cameroon is experiencing these five armed conflicts. But no, Sonali, they get there, they're put in detention, and like generations before them, we have these Black men and Black women in cages. And who are now being forced in deportation because the U.S. government is retaliating against them.
So, and I want to get to the issue of retaliation. So what are the numbers we're looking at? I understand that there were some 200 people that were moved to a detention center in Texas before some dozens were taken to the airport. Do we have a sense of the numbers? I mean, we know that the U.S. government under Trump has been extremely secretive about how it handles refugees, asylum seekers, and immigrants. What do we know about the Cameroonian asylum seekers that have actually been deported so far?
So throughout, so Cameroon has Boko Haram terrorist groups in the north of Cameroon coming out of Nigeria. We have Seleka and Anti-Bakala terrorist groups coming out of Central African Republic, the country. And then within Cameroon, we do have the Anglophone cessationist movement. And we also have some intertribal, intercultural, interreligious crisis, as well as a post-electoral crisis. So that makes up the five armed conflicts. When they come to the U.S., these are men and women who have already fought, a dictatorship. And so within the United States, within the detention centers, they're already known as troublemakers. So what happens is that they went on the hunger strike, which you alluded to earlier. They went on different forms of protest. 140 Cameroonian women protested in Texas, 40 men protested in Pine Prairie, Louisiana. And so the recent deportations have been mass deportations, but Sonali, they've been in the last 10 years, you know, deportations to Cameroon. Even within the pandemic, you know, we had a Freedom of Information Act report that came out that said between March and between March of 2020 and June, July of 2020, Cameroonians were deported during the pandemic when all of the borders were supposedly closed. Wow. Right? Yes.
And then so, the same thing happened during and after the election crisis, you know, the election here in the United States, when the results were not known for many days, all news outlets were focused on that. It seems as though the Trump administration, the Homeland Security Department, was almost rushing to get these, and there many of them, mostly men, out of the country back into Cameroon. And it was considered so dangerous, I understand, that these were being referred to as death planes.
Absolutely, absolutely. So that's what this particular administration is building off of 400 years of anti-Blackness and anti-Africanness within the immigration. Just as we've seen the Trump administration being brazen in its racism, brazen in and just overt in its and emboldened in its racist ways in every single policy, right? Be it healthcare, just not caring about us, you know, half a million Americans dying in COVID. So just as they've been so overt in their, you know, in their racism, in their anti-Blackness, and just not caring for people in general, and putting people over profit, that's exactly what they did with these Cameroonians. So within the pandemic, when folks were like focused on that, they were pushing them out. Within the elections, while folks were, you know, recounting and, you know, looking at, you know, how are we going to maintain this democracy, they were out there pushing these men and women who were protesters. And yes, they took them from different parts of the South. And Sonali, that just tells you how the American immigration system is, right? Because if you're incarcerated, and because that's basically what it is, right? They put asylum seekers
right
in
detention
prison,
is just right? a pretty word for incarceration. Yeah.
That's basically what it is. It's not more, no less. They're in chains, right? If you saw some of the videos that came out of Perryland, which is outside of Dallas, Texas, right? In the Dallas, Texas metro, they were put in chains. You know, they, even when they were in the plane, they were in chains. Many of them, like you said, it was a death trap, death plane. When many of them, when they got to Cameroon, the Cameroon government took them not to the hospital, right? Not to a healthcare center. No, they took them from there to a police station, to another jail, you know, to a police barracks, so the military barracks. That's where they took them to be checked. You know, because they wanted to make sure that none of them were criminals, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's like the most important thing, you know, when humans were chained in, you know, in a, you know, 14, 16 hour trip. And yes, this particular government has used these moments, right? Has used these times when America is focused on something else, you know, that's critical and important to, you know, just be inhumane to people.
So tell me about... you mentioned earlier retaliation. Did the United States skip over the steps needed? They illegally deport these men, because when you seek asylum in the U.S., there are laws that protect you. There are procedures that have to be followed in order to determine whether you are granted asylum or denied asylum. Did the U.S. properly go through these steps? And if they didn't, was it in retaliation for the hunger strikes that these asylum seekers who were being seen as troublemakers engaged in?
Absolutely. This was retaliation. And how do we know this? As you mentioned, the United States follows, you know, all kinds of international treaties on how to treat asylum seekers and how to treat refugees. These men and women, many of them had their cases still open, right? Some of them had been denied asylum, but were filing appeals, right? Some of them were in appeals. Some of them had basically open cases within the Inspector General of Homeland Security. So for instance, there were eight men at Adams County in Mississippi, where these men were beaten at gunpoint, were you know, forced to sign asylum papers, forced to sign travel documents, and they were like, no, we don't, we are scared of going back, we have our cases open. And so pretty much, you know, together with our friends at SPLC, Freedom for Immigrants, Haitian Bridge Alliance, and many other organizations, we came together and we filed a complaint. So that complaint was still open when they deported some of the men and women within that. So ICE went through all this trouble just to send out, you know, Cameroonians on a private, you know, a plane out of Pearland, because these were men and women who were being who were part of a lawsuit to investigate, you know, civil wow. rights within ICE. They were part of the lawsuit to investigate opening up of bodies, you know, mutilating bodies, you know, stealing, because that's what happens with the women at Irwin Detention Center in Georgia, where Exhibit A was a Cameroonian, Pauline, whom we is our sister.
You're referring to the women who found that they had medical procedures being done on them without their knowledge, some even being given hysterectomies, meaning they can't have children. So there was a Cameroonian among those, I believe it was largely Central American women, and then some African immigrants.
There were several African women. There were lawsuits so that particular case was very interesting, because when we think of immigration, we usually would think of maybe Mexicans, maybe extended to South and Central Americans. But folks are not actively thinking about Black migrants, right? Folks are not actively thinking about African migrants. When in fact, right, America as we know today was as a result of forced involuntary migration from Africa, which means every single policy in immigration was to keep those structures in place, to keep the white supremacy in place, right? Right now, we're talking about an African ban, which is a part of the travel ban from Trump in Muslim majority countries, right? But the first African ban was when my ancestors were stolen from the shores of Bindia in Cameroon and sold to the Americas. With that came quarters, right? With that, America made sure that no other person out of Africa could come to America as a migrant.
So let me ask you specifically, Sylvie, if you can address whether their asylum applications were improperly, you know, denied or just even ignored.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So they didn't go, the government didn't go through. And we know that already the Trump administration has installed hardline conservative anti-immigrant judges to be the immigration judges that have, you know, summarily up and down denied asylum applications at an unprecedented rate over these past 4 years.
Absolutely. So for instance, the 40 men in Pine Prairie, the judge there is George Larrigy. Okay, George Larrigy is known as a racist judge. Several organizations, including the Cameroon American Council, have filed grievances, right, in the way he treats Cameroonians and the way he treats Cubans, right? Mm-hmm. SPLC, for instance, you know, put out an entire report on, you know, that as many Cameroonians as Cubans, you know, file for asylum, yet, you know, in addition to the blatant, you know, improper and miscarriage of justice that happens in these immigration courts, because immigration justices and judges come from the executive branch, right? As opposed to the separation of levels, the separation of power that we know it, you know, immigration judges are appointed by the executive branch. So what are you going to do? Not go after what ICE is doing? So basically, the immigration judge and the ICE, you know, the lawyer for the government are working for the same people, right? Against, you know, poor immigrants. So of course, there will be faulty and false and quite frankly, you know, results that come out because of profit, because this particular administration.
Let me ask you, Sylvie, about TPS, temporary protected status, is a status that some people from some countries are enabled, you know, can use in order to remain in the country if they come from nations that are struggling with war and violence. There's been TPS protection for people from various countries, including Haiti. Is there a TPS program for Cameroon? If not, why not? And is that something you're calling for?
Yes, yes. So with the five armed conflicts in Cameroon, with the mass deportation, we are calling for the Cameroon government, actually, and unfortunately, is part of this. Because with TPS for Haiti, for instance, you know, the Haitian government had to tell the State Department, hey, can you hold off on deportation to Haiti while we work on the earthquake? Right. With TPS, we actually work on TPS for the Ebola affected countries, you know, Sierra Leone, Guinea, and Liberia. You know, the governments of those countries had to tell American government, hey, can you hold off on deporting folks into Liberia and Guinea and Sierra Leone while we work on this Ebola crisis that's happening? And same thing for many of the South Sudan had a civil war. Cameroon has a pandemic. Has a civil war and a cessation movement and five armed conflicts, right? You would think that the Cameroon government will say the same thing. While we are focused on, reconciliation, while we're focused on ending the war, would you do this? But the Cameroon government just recently acknowledged that there was even crisis in Cameroon. Right. So we are hopeful because we've been asking the State Department for TPS for the last 4 years since the war went haywire 4 years ago in 2016. We've been asking for TPS. But the State Department kept saying, well, the Cameroon government keeps saying that there's nothing happening in Cameroon, just a little internal squabble, just a little internal, you know, misunderstanding. But last year, the Cameroon government hosted a national dialogue specifically because of the crisis. So that's how we are, we are hopeful that now that the Cameroon government hosted this national dialogue, essentially, you know, saying that there is crisis, now that there is this mass deportation happening, one of the ways, it's not the only way, one of the ways will be to get TPS. Other ways will be to, provide, you know, either TPS or DED. And yes, we've had over 80 organizations sign our petition. And tomorrow, well, this week, we will be having rallies around the country to get more and more people involved. We would love and we appreciate your platform because we are actually looking to reach our neighbors, right? A lot of Cameroonians tend to be nurses. They tend to be, working in this pandemic across the country, yet their friends, their family members are in detention in the U.S.
Finally, Sylvie, let me ask you, do you know of those who have been deported? Does anybody know what has happened to them? Is anybody keeping track of these people who were deported who feared they were being sent to their deaths?
So their families obviously are worried. Yeah. In the diaspora, the Cameroonians across the U.S. are very worried. Some have not seen their family members. Some were at the airport and took pictures with their family members. Like they had other family members come to the airport to take pictures. But again, the Cameroon government took them to another location outside of the Douala International Airport. And while they were there, they were kept for 2-3 days. Some who were deemed to be, much more of a troublemaker. I don't know how they came about that, but some who were deemed to be very much against the Cameroon government were held for longer terms. And there are some people who finally came out, have been in hiding. Others have still not been seen since they were taken by the Cameroon government. And others who were released, where their paperwork were taken away from them. So they have no IDs. They have, because there are some group of, because we have a strong diaspora, right? So there were some groups, some of the tribal groups who were saying, hey, we want to send them some money, but they cannot cash the money. Right, with Western Union or MoneyGram, because they have no IDs, right? So the Cameroon government took all the paperwork that they had with them. They have no way of identifying themselves, and many of them are in hiding. And that's why we encourage, more media attention on this. And we're so, grateful to be on your platform and really asking, friends, allies out there that, if they know of organizations that work internationally to help us investigate this, because we just do not have the resources, right, in doing this. So that's why we're calling members of Congress, we're calling the Cameroon, the American embassy in Cameroon. We sent out emails to Ambassador Brownback, who is the ambassador for international religious freedom, asking him that as a roving international ambassador, if he could look into what faith organizations can do in Cameroon to protect these men and women as some kind of like a sanctuary, because a lot of them have ran, they cannot go to their homes because they know exactly where they're going to track them. And so we were just thinking, hey, would the churches, like for instance, just this week, the American Presbyterian Church in America hosted a webinar on Cameroonian migrants, right? We're hoping that PCUSA, whose highest clergy is a black man, they call him the stated clerk, would ask, the Presbyterian Church in Cameroon to provide sanctuary, right? We're hoping that the American Baptist, conference will look into Baptist churches and, to provide some kind of sanctuary. We're calling on folks to support us as
Can you give out a website, Sylvie, where people can find this information or any social media handles?
Absolutely. So we're at Cam Amer Council, CamAmerCouncil. Cam Amer. If you just put hashtag free Cameroonians and hashtag Cameroon TPS, which is for temporary protected status.
That's and we'll post links to those from our website later today. Sylvie, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate your time and shedding light on this really important issue.
Thank you. And please, remember, immigration is a Black issue. And we are so grateful that more and more people through this platform will learn more about Cameroonian, the resistance of Cameroonian migrants.
Thank you so much, Sylvie.
Thank you.
My guest has been Sylvie Bello, founder of the Cameroon American Council. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupatsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.